you're just joining us, you're listening to WRTI, live music from the performance studio by the Philadelphia Flute Quartet. Now, Tom,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about how the quartet was formed.
Long story, we've all known each other for many years. Anne and I actually went to undergrad school together. She moved to California, had a similar group. When she did move back 4 or 5 years ago, correct? We had a talk, and I decided it was something I wanted to pursue. And as I said, we've known each other for many years. It was a good fit.
So a flute quartet is not a common ensemble, though.
Not at all. many explanations may need to be made often, beginning concerts or promoters.
And so you named a lot of different flutes when we went around and made introductions. Mm-hmm. What are the instruments that are most commonly used in a flute quartet?
Well, I guess traditionally it'd be 4 flutes, expands the range when we have a bass flute and an alto flute and a piccolo. I think it's almost 5 octaves worth of notes could be used. So extends the range.
And what's the repertoire like if there are not many ensembles of this configuration?
Well, it's basically 20th century and 21st century composers and music, with very few exceptions. There's always arrangements made of traditional, Beethoven or Bach or whatever. We prefer not to do too much of that, but more original works for our combination.
Well, it's very cool that you're performing a brand new work and
absolutely.
That we have the composer here with us, Eric.
Hello.
The work that they are performing of yours, could you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. It's called Hidden River. It consists of 3 musical portraits celebrating the Philadelphia area, in particular the Schuylkill River Valley. Hidden River comes from the Dutch name that the settlers gave to the Schuylkill River. So the first movement, Hidden River, it is a little bit about the history, and you certainly hear some of the flowing water idea. The second movement is celebrating the Laurel Hill area, where Laurel Hill Cemetery and Mansion is. And then the third movement has the energy and the vitality, and its title is Kelly Drive.
Oh, cool. Where did you get this idea?
It was just a way of honoring our shared Philadelphia roots with the Philadelphia Flute Quartet, and of course I live here myself.
So we're about to hear the first movement, is that right? Or the yes?
Yes, the first movement, Hidden River.
So what should we be listening for?
Well, I think you should listen for that. It starts with a kind of stately opening section, and then we're going to hear some flowing, faster music that you can imagine as the flow of the Schuylkill River and perhaps the passage of time, the kind of grandeur of history.
Wonderful. You're listening to WRTI, the Philadelphia Flute Quartet, now about to play the first movement of Eric Sessler's work, Hidden River. Thank you. was beautiful. I'm asking Eric, come back here. It's so interesting because knowing that it was about the river, the sounds that the flutes were making were so beautiful. The colors. You don't play the flute. How did you tap into that sound?
Well, just through musical imagination. And I have had an opportunity to write for flute a little bit. I wrote a flute concerto for Philadelphia Orchestra principal Jeffrey Kaner a few years ago, and also the wonderful Bonita Boyd, who teaches at Eastman. So it's been something that I've really enjoyed writing for flute throughout the years.
That's wonderful. And you play the guitar. Does the guitar help you in your composition?
Yes, I often start by improvising on the guitar. Sometimes I'll retune the guitar into alternate tunings and just use that as a kind of creative starting point for a lot of my works.
Now, the piece we just heard, did that involve different kinds of flutes?
Yes, the first movement has three C flutes and one alto flute.
So now we're going to learn a little bit about the alto and the bass flutes. Anne, do you want to tell us about your instrument?
Okay. The bass flute, the range sounds an octave lower than middle C. So the finger is exactly the same as the other flutes. It just sounds an octave lower. So it's a nice bottom for all of these high-pitched C flutes. And it's great. I found if we do arrangements that have cello parts, if we rearrange some string quartets or trios, I play the cello part, and it just adds a nice bottom.
That's
interesting. And it's fun to play.
If you hold it up, for those of our audience who are watching on our website, on the YouTube video.
So I think if it were straight, I think it's 4 feet. So right. Hence the curved head joint.
Right. It doesn't look like what you might picture if your fourth grader comes home and says, I want to play the flute.
No, but I bring it to my lessons so they all get to try it. So maybe we'll have a whole bunch of bass flute players.
That's great.
Yeah, they love it.
So. And Kathy, you play the alto flute in many pieces, right?
Yeah, so the alto is a fourth lower than the regular flute. And Chris, if you want to hold up your flute again. It's just a little bit longer than the regular flute. And it's as Anne just said, compared to a string quartet, I would be the viola part.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Now, Christine, you're going to tell us a little bit about the next piece.
Yes, we're going to play the second movement of a three-movement work for you. And the piece is called Dream States. The movement we're playing is the second one called Pas de Deux, and it's written by our friend and wonderful composer Louis Anthony Delisle. And Dr. Delisle was a longtime faculty member at the Boyer College of Music, and he's a composer, producer, arranger, and author from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And he wrote the piece in 2016, and we were fortunate enough to premiere this flute quartet version, and it tells a little bit of a story. You use your imagination. It has a programmatic element to it. The first movement, the whole story is about an imagined courtship, and it begins with a night on the town, and it ends with an unsettling leaving, and we're playing the part in between the lover's embrace.
Wonderful.
So this beautiful movement features an exquisitely beautifully written duet for the alto and the bass flute at the beginning.
Great. We'll listen for that. You're listening to WRTI live from the Performance Studio, the Philadelphia Flute Quartet.
Ooh.
listening to WRTI. That was Dream States, the second movement, played by the Philadelphia Flute Quartet. I have a technical question now, because I was watching you all and listening, and it was beautiful, and I noticed you looking at each other, and I noticed Christine with her flute indicating the end of a chord.
That particular piece contained many small changes of tempo, and so it's a little tough without some body language and conducting like that to stay together. So,
and do you take turns doing that, conducting the others? And
sometimes it makes sense for one person to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting. It was beautiful, and it is interesting to watch as well as listen. What's the most fun thing about playing in an ensemble like this? It sounds as if it's somewhat unusual, and it's probably not what you do most of the time.
I think it's camaraderie. Flute players are known for being sort of type A competitive, and you know, we just don't feel that between the four of us. You know, it's just a lot of fun, and we've gotten to know each other on a personal level too. It's camaraderie.
That's really great, Kathy.
Yeah.
Everybody agree?
I agree, of course. Like we've known each other for many years. but for me, as an addition of the concerts, and for me personally, booking them and setting it up is a skill that I'm developing, so I enjoy doing that.
Well, you have upcoming concerts. You're playing the world premiere of Hidden River in New York City at the Juilliard School.
Yes, very
excited. The 16th.
Yes.
And later in the month, on the 23rd, you're playing a program at the Philadelphia Free Library on Logan Square.
Yes.
With Hidden River, as well as music by other Philadelphia area composers.
Yes, absolutely. That's the theme, Philadelphia composers. It's a concert I've wanted to do for a while. So, yeah, very excited about that.
Well, that's exciting. And what is the last piece that you'll play for us today, Tom?
One for four. We've played it several times. It's really upbeat. I think it's very different from what you just heard in some of the other works by Cynthia Folio, a friend, colleague, professor at Temple's Music School, and a flutist herself. So she's written many works for flute. And it's very upbeat and positive, and it's a lot of fun.
You're listening to WRTI live from the WRTI Performance Studio, the Philadelphia Flute Quartet. Thank you. That was One for Four by Cynthia Folio, played live in the WRTI Performance Studio by the Philadelphia Flute Quartet, who have been treating us to music by Philadelphia area composers. They're preparing for a concert coming up in New York and Philadelphia, programs celebrating Philadelphia area composers, and in particular, a world premiere of a new work by Eric Sessler, who has been with us today as well. Congratulations, Eric, on this new work.
Thank you so much for having me, and I want to thank the members of the Flute Quartet for their work and for their dedication to the music and to all this music.
Well, we've enjoyed it so much, and it's exciting. It's exciting to think about all this new repertoire that's coming for this ensemble, and maybe there'll be many more flute ensembles in the future. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your music with us.